And said, there's blood beneath that flood. Lives all their guilty shame. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Oh, may I there, though
second hymn.
I know that my solid rock I stand, all of shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking
sand. Page 246, last hymn.
How sweet the name of Jesus sound, and a believer dear, it soothes his sorrow too.
Page 52.
Rock of Ages.
probably continue on in our worship service and go to prayer and preaching. And as always, we welcome everybody to worship with us. I've enjoyed the song service, especially that song, Mother of Being a Living. So, it was very, very encouraging to me while we were singing, and very enjoyable. We want to welcome everybody on this snow day that's going to worship with us. Trust that you're thankful, and we are, for the privilege we have to sing ourselves together, worship our Savior, our Lord, and our God, our Redeemer, and our kinsman, and Redeemer, who became a man, that we might be our kinsman, and Redeemer. And he's worthy of all of our praise, all of our adoration, all of our worship, and I'm glad that it's reported by the words of our Lord himself, that God has sent us to worship him, and worship him in spirit and in truth. And I feel like that on this side of eternity, there is nothing that we can occupy our time in better way than in worship of our God and our Savior. So we are thankful. Someone here in the church lends the spirit. They stay with us in personal prayer for himself and his nephew. He has to undergo a serious operation for 48 hours. And I ask Brother Clyde if he will lead us in prayer. And I hope he's not the only one in prayer. I hope he had a part of the prayer this morning, and you can pray and give him and for me as we try to stand before you for a few minutes. We might have a fruitful life and bring forth those precious truths contained in the Word of God that we have so wonderfully preserved for us. For it is food for the soul and drink. So when we hear what our blessed Savior did for us, we are blessed to feed upon him, Jesus flesh and drink his blood. He said, if a man did not eat his flesh and drink his blood, he had no life in him. So that is my desire this morning, my trust and yours, that we might have a spiritual mind. Leading is an alien spirit to lead us in a spiritual way where we might feed upon our Savior and our God, might truly worship him and adore him for he is good. From Jesus, you find him.
Page 212 on 534, second hymn, page 212.
Page 212, second hymn. You may stand as we sing, if you so desire, and that's where it lies in the list.
Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform. Right.
Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he?
And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man, others said, nay, that he deceived the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And reading these scriptures, there are naturally several questions that will come to mind as we read this. And concerning his brethren, who they were, why they didn't believe him. And he walked, would not walk among the Jews because they sought to kill him. And he told his brethren that he would not go up to the feast, but yet after they went up, he did go up. And he went, as it were, not openly, but secretly. But then we see that in the midst of the feast, he went into the temple and began to teach. So it looks like there might be some contradictions there. We wonder why he would go up secretly, and then he began to teach, and then he'd say he would not go at the time that his brethren went up, but later on he did go. So these questions arise, and the Lord did our effort enough to look at some of them. And it says, after these things, well, actually, that would be after the things that had happened previous to what we had just read, which would have carried the sixth chapter of John. And we remember in the sixth chapter of John that he had fed the multitude with fishes, then crossed the Sea of Galilee in a little boat, and they had followed him over there, and he had admonished them not to seek the food that perishes, that which endures for everlasting life. And then he began to teach them that no man could come to him except his Father with something to draw him. And he reiterated that a couple of times in his discourse. And it said that many turned and walked with him the more, so that was a hard saying. And many turned and walked with him the more. We read well. It says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judah, because the Jews sought to kill him. So there was many of his disciples in Galilee that decided walk with him more. They did not, could not endure that doctrine that he was teaching, and the doctrine that was his, which is teaching. And when he asserted the sovereignty of God, time and time again among the Jews, he was rejected for it. We recall when he first taught in the synagogue there in Galilee in his Nazareth, and he recounted how that there was many lepers in the land on that day, and that only the lady the Syrian was healed, and that there was many widows in the land. But God sent Elijah to a widow woman that was a Gentile. And when he recounted that, he said they were infuriated and they gnashed at him and really threw him over a cliff there, close to the synagogue that he departed. And in their midst, and of course his hour was not yet, so they could not do anything until he willingly submitted himself into the hands of wicked men. But, then they turned and walked with him no more. It says that he would not be the Jews in Galilee and Judea for seeking to kill him. And we might recall here that when you read about him being up in Jerusalem where the Jews are, there's a distinction made between the Jews and the people. And the Jews were then the leaders and the rulers in Jerusalem. Those that were supposed to be the shepherds of Israel, looking after religious rites and their spiritual welfare. And yet they were cruel bastards, and they had sought to kill Jesus. There was murmurings among the people as to who he actually was and so forth. But it said, you read the rather Jews took up stones to stone him, and the Jews consulted how that they might kill him. We always think about the Jews as opposed to the people. And so the Jews in Jerusalem and Judea would be the rulers, and among the people there in Jerusalem. And so it says that because the Jews sought to kill him, he walked in Galilee, and yet it looked like that his ministry there in Galilee was over. He alternated between Galilee and Jerusalem, going back and forth, and he went up three different times to the feast there in the three Passovers in Jerusalem. And so it says it was now the Jews' feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and be it he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. So his brethren, and we believe these brethren here are his brethren according to flesh, that is, they would be his half brothers, really. They would be the sons and daughters of Joseph and Mary. And we have a prophecy in the 69th chapter of Psalms which deals with this, along with many other prophecies in the same psalm. It says, because for my sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. And there are many other, and this 69th psalm prophecies that are fulfilled in the course of ministry and life of our Lord in this same psalm. And so it says here that he was a stranger to my brethren and an alien to my mother's children. You know, the reason we say this is because the biggest branch of Christianity, as far as the public is concerned, does not believe he had any brothers and sisters according to the flesh. That he was immaculately conceived, and Mary was immaculately conceived, and that she had no other children. But we're distinctly told here in the 13th chapter of Matthew, after that, the Lord taught his disciples in the parable, you know, the 13th chapter of Matthew, as he said in the parable. And that he taught concerning the kingdom of heaven that was here then at the time. And many of those parables spoke about the tares and the wheat and exposed the conditions of the Pharisees and the scribes and those that opposed him. Whereas to those that had eyes to see and ears to hear, it was enlightening to them. And so after he had taught these parables, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue insomuch that they were astonished and said, which hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph, and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Which then of this man all of these things. And they were offended.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said unto them, the prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works, for every cause of their unbelief. So the people in Nazareth there knew his mother, Mary, and knew his brothers, and they leaned forward from there and said that he had sisters, and they could not understand from whence this man had this wisdom. He had not gone to the school of the male or Hillel, there was two famous theologians there that the Apostle Paul, you know, was brought up at the feet of the male, I believe it was said. And so this man had not been to any of these schools, and yet his wisdom was so apparent and so openly displayed that it could not be gainsaid. And so it's obvious here that he had some brothers and sisters in the flesh, in the same family here. And for that prophecy to be fulfilled, that he was an alien among his own mother's children, well then of course it would have to be fulfilled that way. And so, but they did not at that time believe in him. Later on, they did, because James, one of the Jameses that was, had his head cut off, I believe, was a brother, said he was a brother of our Lord. But at this particular time, they did not believe in him. Matter of fact, they said, so to speak, you know, you're doing what you're doing here back here in Galilee. Galilee is just a small, out of the way place. The book of Matthew is referred to as Galilee of the Gentiles. And there was a lot of the Gentile settlements out around on the western side of the Sea of Galilee there, I understand. And it was held in very low esteem by the people up in Jerusalem and possibly the rest of Palestine. And so his brethren, they say, well, you know, you can not see the pride here. They say, well, you back here in these small backwoods places doing this thing, go on up to Jerusalem and do these mighty works up there where they can see them. Show them openly to the world. In other words, build a reputation for yourself. And where you can be, where to be really be made known, and so forth. So, and he told them that this the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles was at hand, and I think this was really the secret. I mean, within this chapter, that Feast of Tabernacles was referred to seven times, and so the theme. This theme is around the Feast of the Tabernacles. And I think that's where we find the explanations here. And so he said that he would not say, my time is not yet come. But your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but merely hate it, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. And so he's saying that his time has not yet come, and I don't think he's referring to his death. Some that we read after said they thought he was talking about the time for him to die. But every time he referred to that, he said, my hour has not yet come. He would escape in the midst of the Jews who tried to kill him, and said he would escape, or his hour has not yet come. And so the time for this crucifixion and so forth was referred to the hour. And the hour when it would be for him to be crucified, then he would submit himself. But here he says, my time is not yet come. Your time is always ready. And which would say that as far as men of the world is concerned, their time, whenever, whatever works they're trying to promote and do, they will be received. The world loves its own. And he told his disciples in the 14th chapter, he said, that it's not strange that the world hates you. And he said, you're in the world, but not of the world. And when we...